Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, Stepping into the Gray.
Our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Acts, chapter 17, beginning at verse 22. Let us listen to God's word. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, To an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he's needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all the nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Our second reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. The end of all things is near, therefore be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And this is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your grace, your mercy, your Holy Spirit being at work in our lives. And so, Lord, we recognize that it is no accident that we are here today, Lord, because there is something that you have to impart into us. And so, Lord, we pray that our hearts, our minds would be open to receive that. Perhaps we've already gotten it, Lord, and some of us will receive it now. But, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth may be pleasing into your sight, and I pray that the meditations of our hearts may bring you joy and honor. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. With TabFest being this weekend, and our folks that are down there getting to listen to Rob Shrump, who is not only our all church read that we've been doing, but also our sermon series, we continue today the topic of evangelism appropriately as well. You know, John has been talking about evangelism over the last few weeks as not being formulaic, meaning that it is not a 1, 2, 3 step that we need to take people through, nor is it something that we necessarily believe is guilt-driven. You bad people for not doing anything or anything of that nature. But rather, John and I have been talking about that this is really about friendship. It's relational. And if you would even believe it, it is extremely slow at moments, because we discover that evangelism is not something that we necessarily do to non-Christians, but it is really evangelism is the sharing of the good news. And so John has been aligning the word evangelism with the word discipleship, because really that's what Jesus said. He said, go therefore and make disciples. He didn't say, go therefore and make converts. Go there and evangelize. Go therefore and make disciples. Because we believe that in the way that Jesus talked about evangelism, they were not two separate functions, discipleship, evangelism, but rather they were one and the same. And so as we have been focusing on this topic, we realize that in some ways we could say that even Christians need to be evangelized. You know, I had somebody recently tell me, they said, you know, I really like this topic, but have you ever thought that perhaps evangelism is something that Christians need as well? I said, what do you mean by that? I've never heard of that before. They said, well, you know, as Christians, we also can feel very defeated or discouraged. We also need to be reminded of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so if we take that evangelism is discipleship, sharing of the good news with those who believe and those who don't believe as well. We discover, as John has talked about over the last few weeks, that it is really the art of coming alongside one another, the art of being present, the art of being steadfast with one another. So this week I thought about, okay, so we understand, or at least hopefully you have understood the relationship between evangelism and discipleship, and hopefully we have talked enough and repeated over and over again the art of coming alongside. But I thought to myself, okay, what are words or phrases that we could use so that we could remember what it means to come alongside somebody else? And so really, I get these three words. They're out of the book themselves, but I'm just going to kind of tune them a little bit, fine, to my liking and to the sermon today. And those three words are connect, serve, and watch. You know, Paul is in Athens, and he gets invited to speak at the Areopagus. And amazingly enough, the reason that Paul is invited to speak there is because he identifies things in their culture, Greek culture, that all of a sudden have these people intrigued. And primarily, first, they're just amazed by his message. You know, the Athenians, as much as you may not realize this, they were very religious people. They had more statues, more altars than you could imagine. And in fact, their really religiosity was so profound that they even, just to cover themselves, had even created an altar with the inscription to an unknown God, perhaps being aware and mindful that if they forgot that one God may get very angry with the Athenians and destroy them. So Paul observes, he says, wow, the Athenians, they have a very deep spiritual hunger. And so Paul finds this point of connection with where they are and what the gospel shares with them as well. And Paul says, you know, I notice that you love God, gods. And your love of religion, your love of faith is very evident. So much so that I see this inscription to an unknown God. But I want to tell you about this unknown God in Jesus Christ. And amazingly, it's one of the few places in Scripture where you actually see philosophers and poets being quoted from that time period in these verses. So Paul finds in that culture places of connection with each other. You know, this becomes really important as we do this work of discipleship, of evangelism together, is finding points of connection with one another. And I often believe that the way that we do this is we need to enter into people's lives, the parts that they're willing to share with us, in a non-judgmental way, and perhaps even more out of curiosity of who they are, rather than making very strict and moral judgment calls on someone. We need to find, where does the gospel connect them to their lives? You know, a few years back, someone came into my office and they said to me, I don't think God listens to me at all. And I said, well, why is that? Well, he won't answer me. He won't give me any hope. I said, huh. I said, so you're waiting for God to just maybe audibly speak to you? Well, he's got to do something. I said, okay. I think I see the connection here. In my mind, I'm talking about this. This person was very hungry for God to answer them in a very dire situation. But they had forgotten that God has used people primarily to answer us through a word of encouragement, through a word of wisdom. Whatever it might be, God normally uses us. And so one of the things that we need to realize and that we look at is that when we find points of connection with people of where they are, we can then speak the gospel into their lives. The second part is serve. One of the things that we read in 1 Peter is that we are called, not only saved, but we are also called. And we are called to serve Christ and to serve God and one another. Now, one of the things that I think becomes very powerful is, are you serving somewhere in your life? I'm not talking about at the church. This is a great place to serve. But where else in your life are you serving? And it doesn't necessarily have to be something tremendously big. But the reason I say that is because there is no other way that you and I will be able to observe, know somebody, make a connection with somebody else's life if we are not close to them at all. Proximity is everything. And as Christians, we are called to service. This is not another one of those negotiable things. When I'm older, or when I'm this, or when I have that, I will think about serving. The Bible, Scripture clearly tells us, a life of service is what we are called to. Now, I'm not here to make you feel guilty about that, because there are different ways to serve. But the question becomes, are we serving? A few years ago, a good friend of mine was helping his girlfriend, who now is his wife, to move a few boxes from her place to another. And as he was moving, she said, "Hey, can you go and help my dad move a few boxes for him as well?" And of course he said, "Oh, I don't want to do this." You know, he was trying to get the brownie points with her. And he said, "Yeah, sure, I'll do it." Now, mind you, my friend's a pastor, by the way. And he did it, and he went. And as he was helping her dad move a few boxes here and there, all of a sudden, just serving, her father opened up and said, "Gosh, these things belong to my wife." Okay. A few more boxes, a few more things moved around. She really loved these things. It's a shame she won't get to use them again. Now, he knew that his wife had died about a month ago, but he didn't have a church. He didn't have any place to grieve at other than with his own daughter. And so my friend at that moment, he said, "Gosh, I think God is doing something in this moment of service, this moment of grace." And so at that moment, he was able to share with him hope, help him in his grief, grieve with him as well. These are the places where we find evangelism and discipleship taking place. We often think of it as being the clear presentation of the gospel. And there are moments where that opportunity may present itself. But remember, this is a slow process. And you are not the one that determines the outcome. Let me repeat that for you, because it needs to be said a few times. You are not the one that will determine the outcome. The second, third, last thing that we need to remember is to watch. So we have connect. Where are the points of connection in people's lives? Serve. Where are we serving people so that we can be close to them, observe their lives? But thirdly is to watch. And this means just listening to people, being awake to what God is doing in people's lives. So we need to see what God is doing at our schools, our classes, our workplaces, our neighborhoods. Perhaps in a random conversation you might have at the coffee shop. Where is God actively doing his work in people's lives? And you are the one that just happens to take a glimpse at it. You know, one of the things that we can be very aware of is that, or not aware of, I'm sorry, is that we have a very selective vision, only seeing things when we want to see them. And I'm always afraid of this, even for myself, is that my faith can become very compartmentalized. It can be something that I do from 9 to 6 or 8 to 7, Monday through Friday. Of course, Saturday I have off, you know. Or Sunday, of course. And this is always a danger, I think, for all of us, is that we can somehow be Christians, devoted or very alert Christians at certain moments, and then the other moments of our lives, our faith, not that it's not important, it just kind of slips into the background. And I think that's actually a very normal thing. I don't think if that happens to you, somehow you are a bad person or you lack faith. I think it's extremely normal. We have a lot of things we have to think about on a daily basis. But part of being alive to what God is doing in the lives, our own lives and the lives of others, is to be watchful, of being aware of what's going on. And so these are great opportunities. A few years before I came to work at TAB, some of you may know this, but I used to sell jewelry. Can you imagine me selling jewelry? and I'd love to tell you that I would sell jewelry like this, but I sold maybe 2 rings in 8 months. And my boss was way too kind to me to allow me to stay there. Knowing that I was not a good salesman, and I said, okay, I've got to find ways to make this work for me in some way, because my boss will not fire me. And I needed the job as well, because I was transitioning from seminary to pastoral work. One of the things that I decided to do is I decided that I would just listen and be a presence with my coworkers at work. And it was probably one of the most blessed times in my life, because I connected with them, with their lives. Some of them had very messy lives, lives that I just thought to myself, I would just collapse on the floor if this was happening to me right now. But I found points of connection with the things that were going on with them. I served them at work. If there were things that needed to be done, I served them. But the most important one is I watched. I listened. What was God doing while we were working together? What was God sharing with them? And so these are places, I think, that God puts us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the last point, and I'll end with this. Remember what I said, you are not the one who determines the outcome. I think that one of the things that we are guilty of in evangelism and discipleship is that we place a lot of emphasis on connecting, serving, and watching. And we want to do it so perfectly and so well that a lot of times we don't even do it because we believe we can't do it well. How am I going to connect with people? How am I going to serve people? How am I going to watch people? I don't even know the Bible. I don't even read it every day. I don't even pray every day. There's no way God would use someone like me. So if I can't do it very well, then there's no reason why God would ever use someone like me. And if that is your mindset, I lament for you, honestly, because you have fallen victim to the sin of pride, believing that what you do is the ultimate reality for someone else. You know, one of the things that Rob talks about and that John and I preach about is that in the sharing of the gospel, discipleship, evangelism, there is this whole other part that takes place that we are not a part of. That's the part that God does. It's the part that the Holy Spirit does in people's lives. You know, as a pastor, it's a very humbling thing to be able to speak to you. Honestly, there are times when I laugh because I think to myself, how can people take a guy like me serious? And I realize, wait, it's not that they're taking me serious. It's that the Holy Spirit is doing a work in their lives. It just so happens he uses a very imperfect vessel to do that work. You see, in this whole act of connecting, serving, and watching, we need to remember your part is important. It needs to be done. And do it well. Don't do it out of guilt. Don't do it out of a sense of, I'm not good enough. But do it. Connect, serve, watch. But then we have to allow a larger part to take place. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever had this situation where you've talked to someone and then they come back to you a few weeks later and they said, you know that one thing you shared the other day? That really made a difference. I thought about that a lot. What did I share the other day? And they'll tell you the thing you said, and you'll say, pretty smart guy, I guess. That's the Spirit working in our lives. Friends, if you'll join me in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks so much that of all the people in the world, and even all the people right now, we get to be a part of this great work of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we can do it by connecting with one another. Where are the places where we see, Lord, people's lives and the gospel intermingling? We do it by serving one another, being close so that we can actually observe and hear the conversations that are taking place. And by watching, Lord, help us to keep eyes and hearts that are open to see what you are doing in the life of another. And so, Lord, perhaps today we think already this morning of someone that we have already been doing this with. And we just thought to ourselves, oh, I didn't even know that I was doing the work of evangelism and discipleship. I just thought I was being a good friend. Lord, I pray for those that have these relationships already. Lord, that you would saturate them with grace. And Lord, that the work that you're already doing in these people's lives, may it just continue to pour and grow and grow and grow. And Lord, for those of us, God, that we can't think of someone immediately off the top of our heads, then Lord, by your very grace, we ask your Holy Spirit to open our eyes, to watch, to see those around us, God, that we could invest our lives into. So Lord, we ask that you would speak to us in these moments. It's in your name we pray. Please speak, Holy Spirit.